Welcome to In the Green Room. I'm Kinga.
And I'm Chet. And we're lucky because today we have Martin back in the studio.
Martin is in the house!
Helping us celebrate the 4th of July
Cheers.
A little bit.
That's right. And what better to celebrate the 4th of July with a fine glass of Mercury wine?
I still have to work out, so I'm going to catch up later. But
And we have the beautiful, beautiful, all the way from Norway. Can you introduce Torunn?
Torunn Brin.
Torunn Brin.
Yes.
And she's a climate activist, but here today we are celebrating love and freedom.
Yes.
And
that's what the 4th of July is all about, right? Love and freedom.
That's right. There you go. I think that I'm going to be at the beach watching the fireworks. Are you guys doing anything fun for 4th of July?
Yeah, we are pre-recording right now. A little heads up. But yeah, I'll be in San Diego enjoying the beach as well. So it's going to be fun.
I'm going to be, Sherry and I have a little rooftop casita up in the kind of the mountains of Sunny Slope. And so we're going to go up on the roof. And we have a full view of Tempe. We have a full view of downtown Phoenix.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
So we are going to get quite a light show. It's going to be very cool.
I love it.
And we haven't decided yet. We're either going to stay here or we're going to go to Las Vegas. So we're still
Vegas.
Contemplating.
I had a gig there about a month ago. That was a lot of fun.
Oh,
right,
fun.
June 1st, right when everything was just opening up, we had a gig up there. It was lots of fun. We played with that one guy. Which is
his name is that one guy.
He's a bass player, and he created his own musical instrument, and he's amazing. I mean, just a one man band, and just danceable, so much fun. So we opened
Very
for
cool.
him, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, cheers, Martin. What
awesome.
Are we drinking?
Oh, this is Le Classique from the Mercury wine,
which
is my friends in Sonoma who will beat the French with their bottle. this is a rosé. But it is 40% Grenache, 30% Zinfandel, 20% Sangiovese, and the rest is Petite Syrah.
It's delicious.
So lovely. It's very lovely.
The way
lovely.
That he does this is he puts all the grapes together and ferments them all at the same time rather than take like a barrel of this big, take a barrel of that, take a barrel of that. So he actually fermented all of these together. And so it gives it a very, I don't know, for me, for a rosé, a very bold taste. It's not, there's no sugars in there.
You're making me want to drink some now. Damn. But,
I
think you should give Chet a taste.
Yeah, you should have at least that.
I'll have a taste.
Yeah, just a little, this is what we call less than a Grady splash.
Perfect,
Grady's
perfect.
He's the taste master,
cheers.
The tasting room. Cheers.
Cheers. Ready?
To the La Classique, to the 4th of July, to the United States.
To love, freedom, and we love America.
USA, baby.
USA. That's right.
USA. Well, could we hear one of your beautiful songs?
Then? Well, I'm proud to be an American. No.
Let's just start with a song.
Oh, you want to start with a song?
Yes, I do.
What kind of song do you want?
I like when you kind of...
mood.
Yeah. All
right,
yes,
so.
Please sing about the green room and love and freedom.
Make up your own song.
And what we're going to talk about.
Well, we're sitting in a recording studio just talking about things that mean something to you and me. We just want to know more about love and freedom, don't you? Love and freedom. Love and freedom, love and freedom,
love and freedom,
love and freedom, that's what we want. Well, it shouldn't take just one day to celebrate this concept.
Amen.
It should be something you think about every day of the year. I don't know why people don't just embrace the love and freedom. I guess it's just something inside them that they fear. I said love and freedom.
Love and freedom.
I said love and freedom.
Love and freedom.
There we go. Right off the top of our head. That was nice.
We're trying out for the backup.
That's right. Junk the Band is always hiring. We're always we want more voices. We want more. We got 9 people in the band right now, so I'd love to get it to 12 or 15.
Wow. Martin, amazing. Did you know that I'm taking singing lessons?
Yes.
It's top secret.
I did not know this. It's not anymore. No, that's great. I took singing lessons for many years of my life. I've taught singing lessons. It's to be able
You've
to use.
You've taught singing lessons?
Oh yeah, back in my day. Yeah, any type of teaching is amazing. But I don't teach voice anymore, just because there's so many better voice teachers out there. What I do is improv music. That's what I like to teach. So
that's a hard thing to do.
It is.
And you're good at it.
It took me a long time to understand it, because when I first started out, I just played the music exactly the way the original artist played it, and then I had a teacher, one of the first guitarists of Junk, actually our band, taught me how to improvise in musically. I had already been teaching and doing improvisational comedy. But I couldn't make that transition to improvisational music until I met him, and then man.
You should do a comedy act with Chet.
Oh,
I'd be the star of it.
I want to see Martin do his thing on his own.
I used to perform every Saturday and Friday and Saturday night for 6 years out in Scottsdale for a group called the Oxymorons.
No,
morphed into Jesters, which is an amazing a comedy, family friendly comedy place out in Mesa now.
Oh yes, the owner's been on the show many times.
Jeff Rawls?
Yes.
Oh, he and I have taken classes together. He was in one of my original improv classes. So yeah,
he's been on the show, I would say, at least 10 times.
I did not know.
Yes,
that. How did I
times?
Not
I'd say
know
like
that?
3 or 4, but definitely several.
Maybe 5. Okay. Okay, maybe
5, 10, 3,
but,
whatever.
But
King is the queen of exaggerating.
He is amazing.
So. Sometimes you got to rein her in.
Roosevelt.
But
singer.
His daughter's been on when he hasn't been on. And that's why I'm thinking 10, because he's been there about 10 times.
Probably.
He's brought his daughter to just sing. Yes.
So,
yes.
What an amazing human beings, but that's a whole other show.
That is a whole other show.
I'm huge fans of those people. Anyway.
Yes.
But Jeff was a big part of me getting back into improv. I had been out for quite a while and just didn't know whether I should do it or not, and then went and took several classes from him, and he really encouraged me. And so then I became the director of Value Theater Improv Troupe for, I don't know, or 8 years.
You're a love coach.
And speaking of improv, I'm a love coach.
Yeah, those aren't really related things.
It's all about the transition.
I love hearing about where Martin got his roots in improv, because when you really hear him start get going, it's amazing. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course.
And Chet studies comedy. He knows all the experts, and Chet's funny.
Well, of course he is. He's hilarious.
Well, yeah. I mean, improv is definitely like a really important ingredient to a good comedian. So,
absolutely.
But it's good for anything in life. I mean, to be able to improvise when you're suddenly in a sticky situation or finding yourself out of it. I mean, it's a great training, and it's very few people know how to do it well.
Well, I learned from just an amazing gentleman. His name was Louis Anthony Russo, and he was the director of the Oxymorons. And I went kicking and screaming. I was terrible at it. I was just a few years out of the military, so I was like the opposite of funny. I had a stick where the sun don't shine, and my buddy Grady, who actually is the tasting room manager of this winery, dragged me to improv class way out in Scottsdale, back before the freeways, and I went every week, and just didn't think I was very good. And then I made a breakthrough about a year into it. And I haven't stopped. I love performing.
We all enjoy you. We all think you're funny.
Well, thank you.
So here we're celebrating love and freedom.
Yes.
And you're my relationship coach.
Yes.
And my love coach.
I am a coach. I'm an executive coach. I work with a group out of Atlanta called Cognova Consulting, and we coach on a lot of different things. But relationships, I think, one of the things that we talked about earlier when we were getting ready for the show is how, in this society, American society, how relationships are so codependent. And I know my teachers and my mentors, they are these amazingly independent women, and they don't even live with their husbands. So it's this idea of this amazingly independent woman and amazingly independent man coming together and choosing to be with each other. And to me, that is the very definition of freedom and love, where you love someone so much and that you want to be with them, but you also love yourself so much that you also want to be with yourself. And I think, I don't know, that's really inspired me. It's really inspired my wife and I's relationship. And, you know, we take time apart from each other. She goes on adventures on her own, and I do the same. And I think that's what freedom and love kind of comes up for me.
And that obviously means you're not jealous. So how important is it in a relationship to not be jealous?
Oh, I think it depends on where you're at. I mean, when I was younger, I was very jealous because I was insecure, right? Because I was afraid of what I had to lose, right? And as I've gotten older and I've realized that I don't have a whole lot of control over anything, and that I don't really have any control over whether I have anything to gain or lose, I've just kind of accepted. And then once you've just accepted it, mm-hmm. then it's this idea of if this other person wants to go do something fun, let them. If that doesn't involve me, great. But what if I'm cool enough that they're like, I really want you to come with me, right? So then they invite you, right? So it's being the person that they want to be with rather than being the person they have to be with.
Yeah, trying to force it.
Right.
Well, because when you force it, it just dies. I mean, I love that with Sting. It's like if you love something, you let it go.
Yes.
And you just have to let it go.
Let them free.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know that one on the guitar, sorry.
Well, that's good because we can't post it if you sing somebody else's song. We just like your originals.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, yeah, that's
yes,
right.
Yes.
Ah, yes.
Yes. So really, when you love somebody, you let them free.
Well, I think if it's a... language is so restricting, right? Especially the English language, even though we probably have more words than anybody, but we have less meaning, right? We have one word for love, but how many different kinds of love are there? There's codependent love. There's independent love. There's love of like a familial love. There's, you know, the love between a son and a mother is different from the love between a son and a father, right? So there's all these different kinds of love, but we have one word for it. So it's really hard, I think. And I think that's why people have a tough time sometimes relating to the language around like a love song or something like that, is because it has so many different meanings.
So for a romantic love, what are the key ingredients, you know, with you being the expert, the love coach,
mm-hmm.
what are the key ingredients to make that a lasting relationship? And how do you know that that person is your soulmate? I'm single right now.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very loving relationship for 24 years and right. then it kind of went south. Mm-hmm. We're friends now.
Right. We've talked about it. Yes. A similar situation. I was married for 20 years and got divorced.
Yes.
And now we're friends as well. And even I do some consulting for her company. So, you know, And the only reason that we're friends is because I worked on myself. Had nothing to do with her. I worked on my issues in the marriage, and I worked on what I did, and I became a better person because of what happened to me, rather than wallowing in the guilt and whatever that I could have. And I probably did for a little while, no doubt about that.
Well, everyone has to do that. You have a grieving process,
right?
You have to honor the grieving process of losing something
exactly
that you had for so long, right?
Exactly. But then you have to really look at yourself and say, okay, I'm 50% of that. What was my 50%? And forgive your 50% and then forgive the other 50%. So forgiveness, I guess, is a big
component. Huge.
And self-forgiveness is probably more important than the other side, because it's like you can forgive somebody, but you don't have to forget that they did it, right? But the self-forgiveness, I think most people really walk around beating themselves up for relationships, businesses, whatever, over things that they may or may not have had real control over. So self-forgiveness and really working on the self, working on your egoic self, working on your ego defenses, reading, listening to podcasts that are positive, listening to music that is positive.
In the green room dot green. That's right. You can go to Apple Podcasts. You can go to Facebook. You can go to Instagram, in the green room dot green. And then now YouTube. We have an In the Green Room channel.
And that's one of the things that drew me to this show is that we always turn the negative into a positive. And that's not the case with most media. They're looking for the drama. Right. We're looking for drama, but fun drama, right?
Speaking of drama, Chet, you're newly single. And
why would I want to talk about that?
Well, no, we're not going to talk about the fact that you broke up, but we're going to talk about what do you think a loving relationship looks like? What are the key ingredients to you? What's important to you? Like, if you were going to find your soulmate, what would that be?
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of being put on the spot here, but I think loyalty and then having similar interests is really important. And I don't know, chemistry. It's kind of a generic term, but you just have to...
No, that's huge.
Like, get along really, really well with the person at all times. It can't just be, like, something that has highs and lows. Although all relationships do have highs and lows, but you can't be with somebody where there's, like, inconsistency with your chemistry. Yep. So...
I have a suggestion for you. This is was instructed to do, and I did it, and I will pass it on to you. Is that my teachers? They said, okay, and this was back when I was first going to them. I was a hot mess. I'd recently divorced. Really
hot
didn't
mess.
Know what I was doing. Yeah, no, that's a good song.
Hey, that's a song.
I'm a hot mess. But they said to write down what you wanted in a relationship. And to the point of dark hair, brown eyes, this foot tall, this kind of background, blah, da, 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 is open to this, thinks about this, has read this. And you just write as many things as you possibly can.
See, I think getting super specific like that raises expectations. To
hold on. I agree with you. So
I disagree. Martin.
Hold on.
Okay.
So what you do is you write those things down. And then you take that document and you fold it up and you put it away somewhere. And then so glad you brought that up, because it is about releasing those expectations. Once you release those expectations out to the universe, we in coaching, we call it the field, right? There's a field of energy around us that supports us.
I totally believe
whatever
in that.
Whatever you want to call it, we call it the field.
When I focus on positivity,
right.
It comes to me.
And
focus on love, it comes to yes.
We can go into this in another podcast, but it's scientifically proven that if you focus more on positive energy, your more positive energy is going
to
be around you. And if you focus on negative energy,
more negative
comes
to you,
right?
Yes.
So if you write all these positive things, and I don't know, there's something about the act of writing or the act of saying something, right, that puts it into more of an existence, right? It's an energy. You're actually putting energy into it. And so it's funny because I wrote – what I did is I wrote this thing, and I just called it My Girl. And I wrote, it's probably 3 pages, single-spaced, of just everything that I wanted. And then I put it away, and several months later, I met Sherry. We started dating, yada, yada, yada. We moved in together, been together for several years. And I pulled that document out, and she clicked every box on all 3 pages. So that's...
Very cool.
Yeah. So that's my experience. I'm pretty sure you'll have the similar experience if you do it.
You will. It's science. I mean, I did the same thing, not with the relationship, but I did it with my dream was I was in New York working there, and I was like, oh, I'd love to go to Norway. And yeah, I could have gone to Norway, but I hadn't been there for many years. But I wrote on my list, like, what do I want to do? So I wrote all these specifics, what kind of job I wanted. And I should never have gotten that job, but I put all of the stuff down. I want to live here, blah, 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 blah. And I didn't think about it until 2 years after I had moved to Norway, and I'd gotten everything on the list. I found it because I was getting my container from the U.S., unpacking everything, and I see my journal, and I open up, and I was completely flabbergasted.
I love that.
So, I totally love it.
Yes.
So one quick question. How many years total have you lived in Norway in your lifetime?
I lived half and half of my life.
But how many years would you say?
About 15 years.
Okay.
So you're only 30.
No, I'm right. 20 years. I lived 20 years.
You look great.
I lived half and half, pretty much half and half of my life.
Nice.
So back to the relationships and love and freedom. So I think if you're with somebody that truly loves you, they want to see you happy, and they don't want to control you.
Well, it depends on where they're at, right? So control is usually about insecurity. So if someone wants to be able to control something, they actually think they can control things. And I used to be that way when I was younger. I mean, I was a very black and white thinker. I thought I could control the universe. And then the universe happened, and I realized that I had no control, that I was really just on a more like a Disneyland ride, that I could sit in and watch what was going on. And the only thing you really have control over is your reaction to things, right? You don't have control over – I mean, we can't predict what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes right now. We don't even know what we're going to be talking about in 5 minutes. So we're terrible predictors of the future, although in our heads we think we're amazing. Right?
But that's like, who would have thought of COVID, right? I remember I got in my Facebook feed, today is the day when COVID happened.
I don't want to think about COVID.
Yeah. But it was just so funny.
No more COVID.
But what's so interesting is that's a negative, but think about the positive. You never know what wonderful things are going to happen.
That's right.
In life.
Well, see, and I'm with you. COVID was an actually
it's the best
a
thing that
very
happened in my life.
It's been a great thing for me as well. I think it's been good for the planet.
I think so.
It's amazing
to think about.
I think the world before COVID was headed toward burnout, right?
Maniac destruction.
Ted, do you think COVID
and so,
was good?
So if you think of this highest this high power, right? This larger this field, right? And this microscopic thing that's just a little tiny bit of energy stopped the world. Right. And it stopped the world for a reason. And yes, it's been hard for a lot of people and it's changed a lot of things. But that's it. And the people who think that that's bad are the people who think that change is bad or that think that everything is just going to proceed the way that it's going to happen the way that it has the last 10 years. And that's just not how the world works. Right. And so if you can step back and look at the fact that this tiny little piece of energy, stop the world on a dime, and change the way everybody thinks, change the way everybody reacts, change the way that how much pollution we put in the air last year, right? It changed the way that we consumed things. So
it changed the amount of government control, which is a pretty objectively bad thing, I would say. That's one of the only bad changes because, like, some countries like Canada – there were people having their doors kicked down for seeing their family for Christmas. And that was just an obscenely grotesque reaction to what was happening.
Of course.
COVID was bad, but it wasn't that bad.
Bad things have been happening since the dawn of time.
I think you're right. But what I think it made everyone do was I think Americans are workaholics. And the world has become more and more workaholic. We're all working, saving. And we don't pause. And like the first couple of months, you couldn't do anything. So you're sitting. Right. And it was so interesting because I think every person in the world watched Netflix, right? You're watching Netflix the first month, the second month. And then you got tired of Netflix and you got tired of drinking. Like in Norway, they had lines across the block just to get alcohol, right? People were drinking and watching.
Well, and then people started playing music and then people started painting and doing art and things like that.
I don't know. I was doing all positive things. I was hiking.
Go to a really positive thing, which was that the U.S. was the forefront of basically rejecting obscene government control. Florida, we've got to give Florida the shout out. Florida was the first state that literally went, okay, this is clearly just a new, you know, slightly more deadly flu. We're not going to end our lives over this. We're a free country, and
but
we're
Sweden.
Going back out. And then, and so did Sweden. But ironically, Florida has been having way better COVID statistics like in 2021 so far than like a lot of the states that were totally shut down.
Right.
So it's pretty apparent that they reached herd immunity and got back to life as normal.
Well,
so,
and it goes back to being positive. And then let's get back to life. Right. Well,
which I think you have to be in love.
Is a huge thing talking about
you're
freedom because
eyes.
COVID – across the world, in most other democratic nations, was a massive crackdown on government control over the population. The U.S. is one of the only countries where that wasn't a massive thing.
Right. Why do you think I don't live in Norway anymore? Seriously.
No. Why?
Because of government control.
Right. Government control. And I suddenly woke up one day and I was here. I was stuck here. I was waiting for my flight to go back home to
Norway.
Stuck
here? You're lucky to be here.
I know. But I'm
stuck here?
Air quotes.
I was air quotes. Stuck here. I was like stuck here. And then I was like wanting to go home because I have family over there. But I have family over here too. Like I live both places. But when I saw the crackdown in Norway, I was like, there's no way I'm going to live there again. I'm not going to live there again. I'm going to make sure that I always have a feet in the U.S.
So what is really the crackdown? Why is it so bad?
Oh, let's just talk about
this. It's just what I was talking about in Canada. Like, for example, in Canada, it was you could have zero people into your household, no exceptions over Christmas.
Right. So, in Malaysia, they have barbed wire around neighborhoods, and you cannot leave your neighborhood without a pass.
Freedom! Right? I love America!
But it hasn't stopped
me from going anywhere.
This is something we've talked about before.
Yeah, but you're in Arizona, we're lucky.
This is something we've talked about before, but there's this concept called Kosan Rufu, right? And I want to touch on what you had talked about earlier, Chet, about, you know, there is a lot of dark things that happened in this pandemic, and there's also a lot of light, right?
Yeah,
so you can focus on the light or you can focus on the dark.
Focus on the light.
But I love this.
Light
there's
love.
This Buddhist concept called Kosan Rufu that talks about world peace. And literally translated, it means world peace, but it doesn't mean that the world will ever be peaceful. What it means is that the world peace has to emanate from you. World peace has to emanate from you.
Do you think it does?
Well, of course it does.
Well, in order for that to be able to happen, the government has to be allowing us to be acting at a free enough point to be expressing ourselves.
Right.
So that's what was so scary is that in countries like Malaysia.
Right. But we're not in Malaysia. Yeah. We're here. And all we can do is bring the light so those people in Malaysia can see
and spread the love. Because we're here saving the planet.
One show at a time.
One more time. Saving the planet.
One show at a time.
And can we go to a song about that? And then
right in the middle of a really interesting topic.
Okay.
How can you not sense the pulse of the conversation?
I think she wants to stay positive, but I do think there's a positive doesn't have to be positive. There's something about what I love, the word joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you could be joyful in the midst of the greatest trials of your life.
Well,
right?
Not only that, when you're talking about freedom, it's important to like A, appreciate it, and B, call out places where there has been less freedom. And that is one thing that's definitely been happening in the past year. Like,
what do you think is the most free country in the world?
Right now it's the United States, probably.
Hello?
But that's because of COVID. That's
America,
what I'm saying.
We love America.
You can't just like smile and wave
but
and
it's
ignore
not everywhere.
Other countries that have been basically put under like totalitarian regimes.
So freedom isn't about the country, though. There are so many people in the United States that aren't free. And it's some of it's racially motivated. Some of it's mentally. Like, there's a lot of people that are trapped by themselves.
Yes.
That are trapped in their own minds. And that's what I really want to talk about for a little while at least. And we talked about it a little bit earlier about this idea that, what is freedom? And it talks to writing a list of this goals. You know, the freedom to list all of your goals. It doesn't matter whether you're in Malaysia. It doesn't matter whether you're in the United States. It doesn't matter whether you're in Canada. You still can sit and write down all of the goals and all the things that you want and pursue them. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. The government could be an inconvenience. It could be a roadblock. But it doesn't mean that it's going to stop someone who's truly a believer and someone who truly wants world peace, Kosan Rufu for
world
their
peace. That's
world,
what we want
right?
here. I
but,
want
but
world peace.
But I don't think you do. I think you want peace in your world.
I want
and
world
you want
peace.
People
no,
who
I want,
want
world peace.
It'll never happen.
But
what will happen?
But I want to focus on peace here. Because,
yes.
But this is a worldwide show. I care about peace everywhere. But
of course,
you can
we
only
do.
Start with baby steps.
Yourself. You
baby
can
steps.
Only start with yourself.
Yes.
That's what we talked about.
It's like Michael Jackson, the man in the mirror.
That's
look at the man
yes.
in the mirror, baby.
Yes. You know,
it's
be the
all
change.
About, if you be
the change you want to be. It's
that's
all
the tagline we have on our organization is be the change.
Wait, what's this organization you're
talking Council
about?
For a New Economy. It's a think tank. It's a global think tank that works on how do we become more sustainable and how do we communicate it and how do we really honor people on that. And so
wonderful.
And that was
see, that is making you are making your own world peace.
But what's so interesting is we can all be the change. It's just like you
yes.
said. If we every
that's
day
that's what
do,
the show's about. We yes. I really want to promote and really encourage everybody to do the the little baby steps, little tiny things that will make
a
difference.
My mom always said you have to eat the elephant one bite at a time. That's all you can do. That's all you can do.
Yeah, that's always your advice. So you were an amazing Martin Niner, love coach. Let's hear a song, and then we'll talk more.
All right. Let's see. What should we sing about? What do you want to sing? What do you want to hear about?
I want to hear a song about freedom.
Okay. Chet, I need a letter between A and G.
F.
F. Oh, I hate that one.
Oh, he loves F. F is the best word. Or letter. Right. Well, get your mind out of the gutter. Get your mind out of the gutter.
No, I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking of another F word.
Fun.
Fame.
Okay.
The famous show that I'm on.
This song is about an F word.
F word.
It's something you might have heard. It doesn't rhyme with things you thinking. And it's not what you want it to be.
So what is it?
Well, its meaning is that you go out
and it doesn't rhyme with
and
luck.
And do the things that you want to do.
It doesn't rhyme with luck.
It doesn't rhyme with luck or duck. But you know you wanted it to.
And the song doesn't suck.
No, it doesn't.
America. Freedom. Love.
Yeah. Oh. By the way, the word was fun.
Because yes is more fun.
Exactly. Yes is
more
fun.
I asked the love coach today if I should go on a trip soon.
And what was my answer?
Yes is more fun. That's right. Say yes.
So yeah, going back to just ending the COVID conversation on a positive note is just, it made me so proud to be an American when seeing a lot of other countries that were still living in fear. And here we had kind of just accepted we were going to get through it together and we're starting to open back up far before other countries. So yeah, I don't know. I just think it's important that even if when the next pandemic comes, people need to be courteous and, you know, do what they need to do to be responsible, but you still shouldn't live in fear. Because
if you're in gratitude and love, you can't live in fear, right? And so when you're in fear, you're not being grateful. You're not loving something. I mean, it's literally the opposite of. And so you're absolutely right. And I think that, yeah, there's a lot of negativity in the news, and a lot of people get sucked into that.
I don't watch the news.
I don't watch the news.
Exactly.
Jinx. I stopped the news.
Well, it's crazy how they were trying to basically just stir up the fear with a big death counter.
Absolutely.
Big counting dole.
Fear sells.
Whole thing. And if they had a thing that showed the percentage of people that had recovered, 99.9, mm-hmm. Everybody would be like, let's go out and have a hike or something.
I think that's where each one of us could be. I think what I've really learned is, how can I create a safe space of love? The next pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. How can I, because there's so many people around me that are fearful. And in the beginning, I was so angry. How can
you like
be
a safe word?
Yeah, like safe word to be.
Like safe word.
Like pineapple.
Safe. No,
I'm sorry. I was thinking something totally different. I'm sorry.
This brings up another thing. A lot of people don't have acceptance of their own mortality. So the slightest start of the thought about that. Will make them so scared.
Well, fear of death, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's
that's why I'm
going
to go back to love.
So everyone
love,
should
love and love.
Well, everyone should
talking,
try to.
We're having a meaningful conversation.
I know, but I think it all starts and ends with love.
Well, it does. Yes. It does. And if people are more afraid of public speaking than death, then more people should go public speak because death is there's nothing you can do about
but
it.
But I think so many people woke up during this COVID. I've met because I've traveled around. Mm-hmm. I wanted to find out which state was the best state to live in during COVID.
And which one is? Arizona.
I don't want to interrupt you, but going off of what her point is, so many people were more afraid of death than willing to love. There were so many cases of people that were so afraid of COVID, they didn't see their family, and they ended up dying of pneumonia.
I'll tell you, my father
My father
almost died. Like, this was so horrible. He was stuck in a nursing home. We were not allowed to see him. And he was dying of a broken heart because suddenly he couldn't see anyone. And one day he gets all these people with masks, and they had to rush him to the hospital, and they were warning all of us he's going to die. And I was like, I had to fly to see him. And when I'm seeing him, I said, he's not going to die. And so what I did was I defied what they were saying because I was not allowed to touch him. But I put my hand on his heart, and I put my hand on my head here, and I held it like that for an hour. And my brother did the same thing, and he miraculously came back to life.
Yeah.
And what I wrote on my Facebook page was that, how dare we be so inhumane during COVID?
Yeah.
Because what it's about loving. If we have that loving touch, and the one thing I believe, if we all here, like in this room, and when COVID happens again or the pandemic happens again, we have got to show the humanity of it. Because it was so stupid. In the nursing home, we couldn't touch him, but we saw him there, and the doctors couldn't believe it. My father saw us. He was crying. He was shaking.
Well, human connection is, at the end of the day, is why we what keeps us alive.
It does.
It's the reason. Yeah, it's the.
Okay, so I've dealt with my dad in and out of the hospital for 2 years, and I understand everything you're talking about. And I agree that it's ridiculous when they try to shut you off from your family and say
exactly, people are more afraid of death than realizing we need to still stay loving each other, even if there is a tragedy.
But what was
I? That's what makes life worth living.
In the very beginning of the COVID,
amen.
Do you remember? I called you and Rachel, and I was like, "Oh, come over." And you're like, "We can't go anywhere." And I was like,
"Okay, well, that's because I didn't want to get you sick." That was early on, but I'm saying month or two in, once some of the stats are in, you know how lethal it is.
I didn't stop. Did I stop, Martin?
No,
I didn't stop. I kept doing my show. The show has gone on.
The show must go on.
No, there were a few weeks where we didn't do it right when in the beginning where they didn't know how bad it was.
Of course,
because I went to California. My dog died, and I went to California, and I was gone.
That sounds like a country song.
When did you chew the tobacco?
Yeah. But you know what? But
my
it's
dog
so...
died. I went to California.
So back to love and freedom.
But that's about connection.
I think everything revolves around love.
What we're talking about is how the U.S. was an epicenter of love and freedom throughout the past year.
Yes.
And we were like a...
And so it was in the green room. In the green room, .green, in the green room, on Facebook, Instagram, and on YouTube, in the green room, has been all about spreading love this entire time. And we have not stopped.
And think about like the amazing social change that has come about in the last 24 months. And a lot of it's due to COVID, right? Again, this tiny bit of energy that we can't even see with our own eyes, that, you know, the strongest disinfectant hasn't been able to stop, right? Like it is the higher power. It's the field telling us you're going to do something different now.
But In the Green Room has been unstoppable, because even when people wouldn't even leave their homes and they were like afraid and scared and just like, you know, following like sheep, we still did the show.
That's right.
We did the show with an exception of like 3 weeks, like Chet said.
Yeah, well, we were smart. We, you know, quarantined and stayed home.
Of course,
for as long as we knew it was safe. And then once we realized, you know, some of the stats were coming back and 99.9% of people are making it through, we were like, we're not going to live in fear. We're going to we're going to love each other and keep continuing life as normal.
And save the planet.
One show at a time.
But I think what's so interesting, though, is it woke people up from their sleep. Because when I was traveling around the states, I wanted to see which state did COVID best.
Oh, that's right. We never got back to that. Yes.
Sorry, we interrupted you.
Which state did COVID best? And
It's Arizona.
It is Arizona. But it was fascinating when I've traveled all the way to South Dakota, because I knew that there was no mask policy there. And I was like, I want to experience a state with no mask policy within COVID. I know I'm kind of a nerdy, but I was here like, I felt like I was a tourist, right?
In the
beginning, because I decided in the beginning, I wasn't going to stay here. I was going to go back to Norway. And then when
she's going to host us all in Norway, by the way.
Yes, I am.
I'll go.
But what's so fascinating is I was in South Dakota and they were more fearful. And I was like asking myself, why?
Really?
Yeah, because it comes down to what Chet was talking about. It is that it's and what you're talking about is that this internal fear. People were more fearful. So what happened was the governor had given the freedom of everyone not to have masks, right? So you're like, I was like, I want to go there, right? But all the stores had masks. Yeah. All the people were wearing masks. And no one there had to wear the mask. And what it, and then what was so fascinating, I go to Colorado where they're mandated by state and no one's really caring and not really wearing it. And they're mm-hmm. wearing it behind the nose or like not really respecting the rules, right?
So the lesson here is that if you're ever in a pandemic, go where they have no daylight savings time because that's the rebels that we are, right?
No, but it was just fascinating because what it really comes down to is that the people themselves had believed so much in the masks that even if you go to South Dakota, it didn't make a difference. Mm-hmm. And I would say the most lax place and the best place has been Arizona.
What was it?
We're number one.
We're not number one in a lot of things, but one thing that I will have to say is
we try.
I joined.
Oh, wait. If you want to move here, don't.
Yeah,
we're getting too crowded.
I know, right?
Very
this
true.
Is Worldwide Chef.
Welcome to Phoenix, now go home. That used to be a famous bumper singer.
Yeah, go to Reno.
That's right. No, it's the idea. Oh, shoot, I just lost my train of thought. Darn it, I hate when that happens.
Okay, good. Let's talk about love and the love coach.
All right.
Now we're done with COVID.
Yes, let's be done with COVID.
I'm done with COVID. Okay, so let's give Chet some relationship. Chet's now single. He's now single.
Okay, let's go back to COVID.
Okay.
That's why you were doing that.
Literally, Chet is at his prime. He's like
I'm great at finding people, so
I don't
want to
find
that.
You anybody. But what is, like, because he's now broken up, what would you recommend or how would you coach him on where to go now?
First of all, Chet is not broken.
Yeah, and also, like, I think my breakup was like insanely mature because I still love Christina. We still love each other, and I don't know. I just think that we were realizing that we were just getting into like silly arguments that were like pointless mm-hmm. too often, and
that's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we just realized that we definitely needed some time apart to like grow and mature on our own, and it might work again in the future. It might not, but either way. You're way better off ending something with somebody before it turns sour.
I absolutely agree. I have gone out with these poor ladies for years longer than I should have.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly. So
terrible.
I'm really happy we didn't let things turn sour. Like, we still, like, literally loved each other mm-hmm. at the end and, like, still could potentially get back together in the future, maybe. I don't know.
And you can still hang out in your friend group. You have a big friend group.
Exactly. So, I don't know. I think we were really mature about it. And,
but how would you tell you as the love coach, how would you coach Chet to move forward? And what's ideal? What are the ideal characteristics of what does love look like and a soulmate look like?
Well, I wouldn't worry about the soulmate. I would worry mm-hmm. about Chet. I would take care of Chet first. And, you have to be greedy to be generous, right? You can't Ooh. Give Ooh. Unless you have something to give, right?
Love that.
And
can you say that one more time? I've never heard that quote before.
This is one of the core. This is one of the core things of our coaching. Is that you have to be greedy to be generous.
Oh.
You have to take care of yourself first in order to help somebody else. You've got to put your own oxygen mask on. Before you put it on to the screaming children, right? So it's the idea of you have to take care of yourself first, and that self-forgiveness. It's Chet, I challenge you to write down the perfect woman, and then I challenge you to become the man that person would be attracted to.
Ooh, oh
That's
my gosh.
Simple as that.
Can I do this too?
Can you
challenge all of us here?
I challenge every listener, if you are not in love completely right now, then write down every single thing that you want and then become the person that person would be attracted to.
I love it. Maybe next show we'll do some call-ins. Yes. There we go. So, Chet, what's your response to that?
I think it's a good challenge. It's an interesting one because I've never really thought about trying to put specifics on it because I've always wanted to be like super open-ended about who I'm meeting. I've always thought like, oh, I don't want to say I'm into short girls because then I might meet a tall girl who's literally like the coolest person I've ever met. And So I've never wanted to be too specific about what I'm looking for. Just someone with an amazing personality, intelligence, loyalty. Obviously, someone I'm attracted to. So
and that's okay. Write that down. It doesn't. You don't have to go. You don't have to say I want someone who's 5'2".
Yeah.
But if you want someone that's 5'2", write it down. Like, you know what I mean?
But know what you can write. It's do you like short girls?
I do, but I like tall girls too. That's what I'm saying. I'm not super picky. I like people for the individual.
Well, see, that's my point. Chet, so what you could write about is what you want how you want them to make you feel, and you can rather talk about instead of the looks and what the exterior is what how the relationship's going to be, how the dialogue's going to be. Because if you don't know if it's tall or short, and that doesn't really matter to you,
then that's not what you write on the list. Yeah.
You write the specifics on how you want to feel.
And this is important, and I don't want to miss this. You have to write it in the present tense, as if it's already happened or as if it's happening. Mm-hmm. Because
really, wait, yes. You're giving me this homework too. Wait, we're all, the three of us are all single. We're all doing this homework.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and we'll do another show and tell you how it went.
The idea is that when you write your goals, and this is not mine. This is based on a lot of research.
No. I've had many people tell me they did this exercise. What you're talking about. They did it all, and then boom, they met their match.
Mm-hmm. It happened to me, but I wrote it as if it had already happened. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the keys, too, is that assuming that it's going to happen, assuming that it's already happened, and then you're just stepping into it, right? And again, it's how do I become the person that's worthy of this person, right?
But I love that part's huge to me. So kind of like give me a little more –
I
description
actually really
that.
Like that.
Because, so you're going to be the person of who you're defining, like this
right. As soon as you define someone, right? If you define this person as, you know, that you don't want them to be jealous of you, well, then you can't be jealous of them, and you got to be that person, right? Because if someone's not jealous of you, they are not going to put up with you being jealous of them, right? So it's really raising your standards. But not raising your expectations, right? Because as soon as you start putting judgment and expectations against it, it becomes suffering, right? This is about dreaming and loving and being grateful for what could be, what living in this idea that that perfect person is there for me. But I have to work on myself in order to get there.
So it gives you homework.
It gives you homework, but it's also but I'm not talking about homework that's like a pass-fail grade, right? I'm not talking about homework that makes you feel like crap at the end of it. I'm talking about homework that
improves yourself.
Focusing on your music, right? Like Chet and I have been talking about for 2 years to do a music project together, right? Which we couldn't
still
because
need to.
Of COVID.
Yeah,
right?
I haven't got to do it.
We're because going of COVID to. And that kind of thing.
Oh, come on. Now that's
going to make it happen.
But it's
Rachel
idea.
Has a home studio. You guys can go to Rachel's studio.
There's no idea that we can make it happen, right? But it becomes this idea of, okay, what is that going to become? Who does that make Chet as an artist? Who does that make me as an artist? And so it's just, and yes, we could set an expectation of, oh, we got to do this by the end of the year. But if we don't do it by the end of the year, oh. And we're like,
you know what? I recommend you guys do it before Rachel's birthday, which is August 13th. And it could be a birthday gift to her, and you could somehow incorporate your birthday
And see, by that's raising expectations idea. Like that, if we don't do it, will you be disappointed?
No.
All right. See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm talking about.
That's why I'm so close with my kids. I'm very forgiving and loving.
But that's what we're trying to communicate to everyone else, is that you could have this expectation. You could have this, what I like to call Judgy McJudgerton. Judgerton, right? This huge judgment on something, but as soon as you start putting those expectations and judgments, you're in suffering.
And society puts that on you in a way.
Oh, big
and
time!
It's like you have to unlearn what you're learning from everywhere else. That,
my coaches, that's what I had to do. I had to unlearn everything I thought was true, because everything I thought was true was making me miserable.
Isn't that interesting?
So we have 5 minutes.
It was fascinating at the time.
It's just so funny how you have to unlearn stuff.
So we have 5 minutes.
As you get older.
I do want to hear one more song, and then I want to hear a couple more points of advice and how Chet is going to take your homework.
All right. So a song. What should we play?
A song about Chet falling in love. And King of Falling in Love. And Torin. after your homework.
Well, we all want to fall in love.
Fall
we want in another love. Person to fit like a glove.
Like a glove.
We want somebody who's right there.
Right there.
But we gotta take good care.
Good care.
Of yourself.
Of yourself.
Forgive yourself.
Forgive yourself.
So there's three things that are keeping you down.
Three things, baby.
There's
not really.
Ego in your head.
Bad ego.
It says I'm not good enough and I'm not lovable and I'm not safe and that's
I'm so
not
lovable.
True.
That's not true, baby.
So just think, I am love.
I am love. I am love. I am safe.
I am lovable.
I am lovable.
And I'm good enough.
I'm good enough. Yes is more fun.
And yes is more fun.
Yes is more fun.
Yes is more fun.com. Check it out.
Yes is more fun.com. Okay, how funny is this? Your song was so fantastic. We all
thank
to clap
you.
It
thank
out.
You very much.
So my bracelet I was says I am love. I am love. I am love. Wow.
And that is, we are love. If you look at, again, the field, some people call it God, universe, spirit. I like to call it Gus, personally. And that is the field of love. And if we can stay in the field of love and gratitude, then the rest of your life is going to be amazing.
Gus. God, Gus, universe, spirit.
God, universe,
spirit. Oh, I like that.
Right?
Well,
not fun.
I love
not fun.
We all have homework, and we're going to do another show, a follow-up
exactly.
on this.
Exactly.
Chet, are you going to write your list?
Yeah, it sounds like a fun idea.
All right.
Awesome. I'm going to write my list. You're going to write your list?
I'm going to write my list, sure.
All right, well, tune in.
All right, we're going to save the planet one list at a time. No, just kidding.
Thank you, Martin Einer. How do people find you?
Yesismorefun.com.
Yesismorefun.com.
Yeah, absolutely.
Torin, Brynn, how do people find you?
TorinB.com.
Okay.
Yes.
Chet, and how do people find your music?
You need some work on your mobile, by the way. Your
Deep Chetty.
Oh, really?
Hold on. People find Chet's music on
Deep Chetty on SoundCloud or
Deep
Chetty
like
music
this.
On Instagram.
Deep Chetty.
I like
Deep Chetty.
Yeah.
Deep Chetty.
Fun show. It's a good time.
And everybody check out In the Green Room .green on Facebook, Instagram.
I mean, if they're already here, then they're probably checking it out. But,
well, and then hopefully spread it to your friends. Comment,
spread
let us
love.
Know. Spread the love.
Spread the love.
Spread
cheers.
The love.
Mostly to yourself.
In the Green Room on YouTube. Love. Bye. Spread the love. Bye. Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.